Yes, good. Good, good. All right. All right, for 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings. Did I tell you 1 Kings before? Okay. Some of you look like you're turning again. How many of you have some big decisions that you're having to make right now, some things in your life you're having to make decisions about? Anybody like that? Okay. All right, quite a few of you. All right. Wouldn't it be nice? Now think about the decision you've got to make. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew the future? And you knew what was going to happen so that you knew what decision to make? Yeah, for some of us, some of you are saying no because the future is kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? But when you're making a decision about the future, it'd be kind of nice to know exactly what the future holds, wouldn't it? Well, now the good news is, for you as a believer, you have a wonderful resource, and your resource knows the future. God knows exactly what the future holds. And He has a perfect plan and a perfect will for your life. And every one of us as a believer have the right, the privilege, to come to God and seek direction and wisdom. It's a wonderful truth. This morning, we're going to be getting a study of 2 Kings. We finished 1 Kings a couple weeks ago, and we're continuing on studying these kings of Judah and of Israel, the northern tribe, the southern tribe. We're going to see all these men as we continue through. And if you look at the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, all of those kings had something in common besides being kings of Israel. What was it? They're all bad. They're all bad. Unfortunately, they're all bad. And the kings of Judah, of the south, there were some kings that were godly men. Now, there were a lot that were not. But anytime you study the kings of Israel, they're always going to be a bad example. And that's what we're going to see today. As we open the book, we find a king who is the son of Ahab. Ahab was a good man or a bad man? Yeah, about 98% bad. He did have a redeeming moment or two in his life. And his son's going to follow in his footsteps and really give us an example, a bad example of what to do when you have a decision to make. Okay? So, let's look at it and see. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 1. And we see, number one, a man who needed to inquire of the Lord. If you're taking notes this morning, verse 1 and 2, Ahaziah's refusal to inquire of God. And this is where we're going to spend most of our time. It says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So as we look at this passage, as it opens up to us, we see that he has a real need in his life. What's the need? He wants to know if he's going to get better. So now, most of you probably don't wander around on your roof. Okay? And there's a reason for that. In fact, Bob Daniels does a lot of mechanic work for me and has just been a great blessing and was working on Caleb's car this last week. And when I was over there, I noticed a little bit of water in his garage, in his basement. And he explained that his gutters were clogged and he's not a big fan of getting up there and cleaning them out. So I said, well, I can do that for you. So Monday, I was up on his roof, and it's not a 412 pitch. I don't know what it is, but it's much steeper than that. And it was a little too exciting. It's not the kind of roof you're going to wander around on, you know, unless you want to fall off. But in this day, in the day when 2 Kings was written, the roofs were flat. And they would have fences or lattice work around the outside so you didn't fall off. Or they might have skylights, so they would have lights for the room below. But, of course, they didn't have glass, so they don't have skylights we have today. And they would put some kind of lattice work across that. And I'm not really sure which one he fell through, but the point is he fell. And it may have been he fell through one of these skylights. And when he did, he hurt himself pretty badly. And his question is, am I going to die or not? So here's a man with a great physical problem, and he wants to know what's going to happen to him. Now, probably most of you have not fallen through skylights lately. I don't see anybody that looks like you have, but is that his problem? Is that what happened to you, Jim? On your head, yes, you go. But we do have a lot of reasons in life that we need to inquire of the Lord. No matter what age you are here today, there are things in your life that come about that you need to know what God wants you to do or what's going to happen. Help me out here this morning. What are some things that might come into your life that would encourage us to inquire of the Lord to find out what we ought to do or what's going to happen? Marriage. Who said marriage? Now, in your case, you've been married a long time. You know the will, Lord, you stay in it, okay? I've got to wonder about that, Lynn. Maybe I should talk to Donna afterward. You're exactly right, though. What a big decision. You know, huge decision. Yes, sir. Job change or retirement. Yeah. And that's obviously a huge, huge decision. Health decision. Sure. I visited David this week in the hospital, and the doctor said to him, I can put you on one of two medications. And David said, well, which one would you think's the best? And the doctor said, it's up to you. And I'm thinking, isn't that kind of why we pay the doctor to make that decision, you know? So here, your life depends upon this. Help yourself, buddy. You choose whatever one you want to choose. Well, anyway, what else? What's that? Buying a home. And I think somebody said building a home. All right. You guys are doing that back here.
Young people, career decisions.
Career decisions, sure. College decisions. Church choices, sure. What else? Raising your children, sure. And I can see you've got your hands full, I tell you. No, these are your children, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Good. And I noticed you nudged Gabriella. That was, yeah, good. All right. What's that? What kind of decision? Spiritual, sure. Yeah, and those happen every day, don't they? Lots and lots of decisions you got to make. Lots of time you need help. And you need answers. And really, if you think about it, we probably need that a lot more than we think we need it. So there's lots and lots of times in life when we really need answers. We need help. We need guidance, okay? So even though you haven't fallen off the roof lately, I jumped off the roof as a kid, but that's a whole different story. I guess probably pray for my mom in that case and my dad, I don't know. But even though that hasn't happened in your life yet, there are big decisions we all have to make. There are big times when we just need help from heaven. We need God's guidance. Well, let's see how this guy does. He comes in verse 2, and he says to his messengers, go inquire of Jehovah God in Jerusalem whether I shall recover of this disease. You don't like that translation? Okay. Now, the simple matter of fact is, this is a Jewish king, and really he had the right to go to God and get help. I mean, you look at the kings. I mean, start with David, okay? The man after God's own heart. And can you help me here? What are some times in David's life that he really had to inquire of the Lord? When Saul was chasing him, remember that? And he said, Lord, if I go to these people, are they going to turn me over? By the way, what a great thing. He didn't know what those people were going to do, but God did. And God said, don't go there. They will turn you in. Okay? Can you think of another time in David's life? Sure. When his son is trying to dethrone him. Boy, he needed God's help, didn't he? It's interesting. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, listen, and to inquire in his temple. David said, you know what? I want to walk with God. I want to be in God's presence so that I'll be able to inquire of the Lord. Same word, by the way, in the text here, where he is going to inquire. So there's no doubt that David had a wonderful example of a king who often inquired of the Lord. By the way, he also said in Psalm 55, 17, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry it aloud. So here's a man that knew much about inquiring of God. I think of Solomon. Same thing in Solomon's life. You know, when he was dedicating the temple, he said, Lord, when the enemy comes in, when famine comes in, when trouble comes, I want to be able to come to this house and I want to be able to inquire of God. I want to know what God wants me to do. And he wrote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, didn't he? What a great verse. What a great guide. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And by the way, for those many that raise their hand today with decisions to make, that's the best advice I can give you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. You know what that means? That means admit that God has the right to rule and reign in your life. Allow him to be king. He said, if you do that, he'll direct your path. What a great truth. What a great truth. So here's a man, Solomon, another king that wrote that. We just studied Jehoshaphat. And that word inquire is used in his life. Remember that story? It's been a month or so ago, I guess. He was with Ahab, and what did he want to know? Right, and why did he want to know what the prophet said? What was the situation? Going to go to battle. Should we go to battle? Should we do this? He wanted to know what God had to say. So here we come to Ahaziah. Now, if you're like me, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a wicked king. This is a wicked king. He doesn't have the right to come. But we're going to find out in a moment that he did. Because Elijah is going to say, why didn't you go to God? See? He had the right to repent and go to God for help. He had that right. He had that ability to do that. And I just want to stop for a moment and remind you, if you're a child of God today, that you have that right. Think for a moment about your God. What does God know? God knows everything. What can God do? Anything. What is God's wisdom? It's infinite. His understanding is infinite. And by the way, he controls all things. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to keep you exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that. Think about your decision you've got to make. And the best outcome could be, and he said, look, I want to remind you that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's our God. That's our God. Now, folks, you, if you are a believer, have the right to come to God for direction, for help, for comfort, for encouragement. You have that right. Now, hold your place in 2 Kings, because we're going to come back there momentarily. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 14. And this is a great passage. Hebrews 4:14. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest, who's that? Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. How many of you ever struggle with assurance of salvation? You don't have to raise your hand. But he says, look, you can hold fast to your profession. Why? What does the verse say? Come on. Because we have a great high priest. We have someone who is interceding for us in heaven. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he says in verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, this always amazes me, let us therefore come humbly, fearfully. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Wow. You, if you're saved, you have the right, the privilege of coming into the very presence of God through Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Think about what your needs are. Think about what your situations are. And God said, you've got the right to come to God the Father, the God who knows all things, the God who has all wisdom, all power, all who loves you and cares for you. And you have the right to come through Jesus Christ to Him for whatever the need is. You have that right. You have that privilege. It is available for you today. And there are so many prayer promises. I don't want to give all of them in the Bible, but just give you a few. Probably my favorite, Jeremiah 33:3 says what? Call unto me. This is God, the God who knows all things, who has all power, who has all wisdom. And he says to you, call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wow, what a prayer promise. In Matthew 7:7-8, you know the verses, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. He said, keep asking. You say, I haven't got an answer. What should you do? Keep asking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep looking to Him. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Keep at it. And oh, Philippians 4:6 is a great verse. Be careful for... Oh, come on. Surely there's something I can worry about. Right? He says, don't worry about anything. But with everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, and I wasn't going to read this one, but and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow, what a passage. What a passage. Oh, and here's a good one, James 1:5. When my wife and I were dating at Bob Jones, we memorized the book of James. You find that hard to believe, don't you? She memorized the book of James, and I did most of it. And... James 1:5, what does it say? If any man lack wisdom, if that applies to you, would you raise your hand? I'm going to wait till everybody raises their hand, okay? All right, good. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. That's the only time it's good to have a liberal around it. Liberally, God will give to you liberally and abradeth not. He won't say, oh, Mark, you're just dust. You're just dirt. You're just flesh. Why don't you get your act together? No, he doesn't do that. You can ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be. Hey, let me ask a question. Does God keep his word? Hey, if he didn't, where would we be today? But God said, look, if you need wisdom, you ask, and I will give it to you. All right, let's stop a minute. If we don't have it, then what's the problem? I haven't asked for it. Because God always keeps his word. By the way, it may not be this moment. You say, Lord, I really need this. Tell me now. It doesn't say now, does it? Don't you wish it did? If right there at the end, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, breath not, and it shall be given to him now. Wouldn't that be nice? Doesn't say that. But it does say he will give it to him. Now, believer, look. We have a wonderful right and resource that is available for you all the time. 24/7, God is available to give you the wisdom you need, to give you the help you need. Whatever the need is, God is able to give it to you. Okay? What a resource. Well, flip back to 2 Kings. And we're looking at Ahaziah. Now, I've already told you he's a bad example. I've already read verse 2. So you know what he did, don't you? He did not send to Jerusalem. He did not send for Elijah. This is amazing. This is a king of Israel, God's people. And he says to his messengers in verse 2, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Now, what was Ekron? That was one of the cities of the Philistines. There was a temple to Beelzebub or Beelzebub at this place called Ekron. Now, there's all kinds of thoughts about what the name means. And in the Latin, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they actually changed to Beelzebub, which you know because you hear that in the New Testament. Anybody know what Beelzebub or Beelzebub was the god of? I heard it back somewhere. Flies. Isn't that what you like? A god of flies. Now, again, there's great debate about why he was the god of flies. I mean, they said, well, you go to Ekron, they had flies everywhere. You'll understand. You know, I don't know. Or it could have been like, you know, the Egyptians, they worshipped everything under the sun, including the sun. And the scarab, you know, was a beetle that they worshipped. Well, I suppose they could worship flies. I kill flies. I don't worship flies. But now think. Now, he had the opportunity to go to the God who knows everything and can do everything and is in control of everything. And instead he chose the god of the flies. Great decision, Ahaziah. Way to go, buddy. And you think, what is wrong with this guy? I was just reading in my devotions. I've been reading through Psalms. Boy, it's just been such a blessing. And let me just give you a passage where David talks about the gods. And he says in Psalm 115, they have mouths, but they what? Speak not. You know, if you want to hear from God, it's good if he has a mouth, if he could speak. Eyes have they, but they see not. Is that the kind of God you want to have? Doesn't know what's going on in your life? They have ears, but guess what? They hear not. They have noses, but you got it. They smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. Wow. Then he goes on to say, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. So here's a man who had a choice about who to inquire. He could have gone to God, or he could have gone to the Lord of the Flies. You know. And we read that and we think about it and then we think, man, are you stupid or what? But let's not be so quick to condemn, because I know in my life I have those same choices. Now, I'm not saying I have a choice between God and the Lord of the Flies. And of course, the Lord of the Flies in the New Testament becomes Beelzebub, who is Satan himself, the devil himself. So I'll be honest with you. If you were to ask me what my sign was today, I don't know. I don't read the horoscope. I don't go to Colonial Heights and stop at the lady who reads the tarot cards. Never been tempted. Although, I don't know, it might be kind of fun, just as a joke. But I don't own a Ouija board. You know, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't pray to Satan, obviously. But when I need help, when I need decision, wisdom, let's be honest. We have a decision to go to God, the God who knows all things, can do all things, the God of all wisdom. And we do have a bunch of other choices. What might those be?
Go to friends.
Okay? Now, you may have great friends. What's the problem with friends?
Finite.
They're finite too. They may know less than you do. Okay? Who else can you go to? You can call a friend, rather. What else can you do? You can call your psychologist. Well, you could. And they'll just say, look, you're crazy. You know, But even here's a psychologist. They're trained in, you know, human physiology, all that kind of stuff. But they're limited too, aren't they? You can look it up on the internet, and everything on the internet is true. So that would certainly solve the problem. It's like if you want to know what the weather is, if you don't like what they say on one, you just go to another, and they'll probably tell you what you like to hear. And none of them know what's going to happen. It wasn't supposed to rain yesterday, and it rained all day. So, you know, goodness gracious. Where else could you go? Sunday school teacher. That was not nice. And I know one thing about him for sure. His understanding is finite. Yeah. That too. I do have one of those coats at home that ties in the back. You know, I do have. You could rely on your own wisdom. There are a lot of sources, and let's be honest, when these things occur in life, where we need help, where we need wisdom, or we need strength, let's be honest. Where's the last place we usually go? I just thought of this when we were in England on our mission trip. Someone years ago bought me this watch, and it's a Seiko watch. It's like $3 or $4. It's a very nice watch. It even tells time. It's nice. And early in the week, we were doing cement, and we were digging the dirt, and it was nasty. It was raining, and I said, you know what? I need to take that watch off, and I need to put it somewhere to keep it safe. And I could not remember for the world where that thing was. And I told everybody, hey, keep your eye open for this watch. You know, it's a really nice watch. I'd love to have it back. And I don't know where it is. And I talked to all the people, and I looked everywhere, and I used my own logic. And I thought, let's see. I was working over there, so it could be there. And I looked, and I went out in the rain and the mud, and I looked, and I looked, and I never could find my watch. And we left, I think, on Tuesday. Monday, we're starting to pack. And I finally came to the one resource I had not gone to. I prayed. Can you believe it? I finally prayed. After 3 or 4 days. I was so bad that I finally prayed. And about 4 minutes later, I opened the curtain. I don't know why. And there's my beautiful watch sitting right there on the windowsill where I had put it for safekeeping. And it was very safe because I couldn't find it. But isn't that how we handle most of our problems in life? We have a physical need. Now, I'm for doctors. I really am. But where should you go first? Think about all of the things that we have in life, the decisions and the needs. And most of the time, we probably do just what I did with my watch. We go to all the resources we have, and we use all of our energy and all those things, and finally we come and we say, well, can't figure it out. I guess I'll have to pray. Really. Think how it would change our lives if at the beginning we would go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I know you know all things. God, you promised, if I'd ask for wisdom, that you'd give it to me. Just think how it would change. Now, Ahaziah was much like we are, and he went to Beelzebub. Now, I need to cover the rest of the chapter very quickly. I'm going to do that without reading it to you. Because the messengers come back very quickly because they had met this guy named Elijah along the way, a prophet of God. And Elijah said, go tell that guy, hey, is there not a God in Israel that you could ask? Because of your rebellion against God, your failure to inquire of God, you're going to die. And now Ahaziah had a decision to make right then. He could have repented. He could have gotten right with God. But he said, you know what? I'm going to send 50 captains out to get that guy, that hairy dude, and I'm going to take him down. And the 50 captains came along, and the captain said, hey, old man of God, king wants to see you. You come with us right now. And Elijah said, look, if I'm really the man of God, fire fall from heaven. He was pretty good at that. And whoosh, those 50 guys were gone. The word gets back to the king. He said, your 50 messengers just got burned up. So being the smart king that he is, what'd he do? 50 more. Oh, sure, yeah. 50 more came up. Rerun. Same thing happens. They're burned up. So the king, of course, being a smart guy that he is, what'd he do now? He sends 50 more guys, all right? So 50 more guys show up. This guy, though, the captain says, I've heard about you, buddy. And if you would be so kind as to come with us, and God told Elijah, you go with him, he won't harm you. And he goes to the king, and he says to the king, is there not a God in Israel that you could have inquired of? But because you did not, you're going to die. And the word of God says in the next verse, and Ahaziah died. Why? Now, I'm not saying if you don't pray about where your watch is, God's going to strike you dead, okay? I'm not saying that. But I guarantee this, if you go your way, the world's way, the logical way, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Folks, we have the greatest resource for wisdom and understanding and knowledge and power that there is. It's there. It's there for you. You can have access to it. And number one, we don't inquire of God. And number two, when we do hear from God, sometimes like Ahaziah, we say, uh-uh. You're sitting in church and the pastor's preaching and the Holy Spirit of God says to you, and you say, are you kidding? No way. And I remind all of us, the way of the transgressor is hard. It is hard. So let me close very quickly. Number one, are you accessing the resource that you have as a believer? Are you walking with God? Are you seeking God's will? Are you saying, Lord, here I am. You tell me, I'll do it. Or are you resting upon your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your friend's knowledge, all that stuff? And then secondly, when God does speak to you and says, here's the way, walk in it, how do you respond? I don't think that's a great idea. I don't think I like that idea. Or do we bow the knee and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey, don't be like Ahaziah. Okay? Don't be that way. Be that way. Leads to hardship and trial and difficulty. Lord, we do thank you for who you are today. We thank you for your power and your wisdom and your love and your care. And Lord, there are folks here today that need to hear from heaven. And I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to turn to you in time of need, to come to the throne boldly, and to receive help in time of need. God, may we hear testimonies in coming weeks of folks who did just that and saw you work in a mighty way. And then, God, help us as believers to be obedient to the revealed will of God. Lord, when you've spoken, help us, Lord, just to do it and obey you and do your will, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.